Genesis chapter 16. My name is Pastor Oetla Simankane, thanking you for joining us as we go through this incredible journey through the book of Genesis. This has been an enriching journey for me, and I pray that it has been for you as well. We're in Genesis chapter 16, and I wish for us to read from verse 1. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid servant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her.' And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever." Close your eyes with me as we pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful today that we can be able to hear a word from the Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we reflect on this episode in the life of Abram and Sarah, that, Lord, we may avoid the pits, that we may avoid the mistakes, that we may avoid a repetition of this same kind of behavior in our lives. And may the grace and the mercy and may the favor of God be upon us as it was with Abraham, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, sons and daughters of the living God, my friends, I feel like we are going through this journey together, and we are in a relationship together as we are reading the Word of God together. And I hope that you are being edified, and I hope that you're being rebuked as well and corrected. And this chapter is a chapter of rebuke. This chapter is a chapter of correction. We see in Abraham an episode that is not flattering at all. We see in Abraham and Sarai an episode that should for us be a lesson so that we do not repeat the same mistakes. Here's a question. What do you do when you do not get what you want? What do you do when you do not get what you want when you want it? What do you do when you've tried and failed? What do you do when you have prayed and prayed? What do you do when you've claimed the promises of God and you do not see the promise coming into fruition? What do you do? What do you do when you do not get at home what you need? Abraham, what do you do when you do not get from your wife what you need? Abraham sought the solution outside the home when his wife could not give him a child. Genesis 16 presents the frailty of Abraham and Sarah. And quite truly, just as in the previous episodes, it is Abraham who said to Sarah, "Say you are my sister." Now it is Sarah who comes to Abraham and says, "You know, this thing isn't working. Maybe Hagar. Maybe we will have a child, but not through me." God at this point, beloved, had made very explicit promises. I'm sure by now you've, chapter after chapter in the story of Abraham, we have now repeated that promise so many times. You know, though God had made the promise, sealed it by blood, as we saw in the previous chapter, right? Taken Abraham out, shown him the stars in the sky. In chapter 15, he even lays out the path ahead. He tells him what will happen to his descendants. He says, "You'll have children." And he tells him the history of the children before the children come. He says to him, "They will be strangers in a land not theirs." He's speaking about Abraham's children. Abraham, who has no children. God says to him, "Your children will become a great nation, but they will be taken into a foreign land," and even provides timelines. And he says, what will happen, when it will happen, for how long it will happen. He says, 400 years, right? I'm talking about God now, the one who has promised. And he says 400 years, right, your descendants will be there until the sin of the Amorites is complete. God is giving a full, comprehensive, panoramic picture of what will be happening here. So God not only knows that Abraham will have a child or that he will have children, he even knows what their history and what their story will be. He knows what will be the contingent factors on the story of Abraham's children. I'm talking about the childless man. God knows. He knows when they will return to the land, and he commits to his promise by going through the pieces of slain animals to commit by blood that he will be faithful. And yet, in this chapter, Abraham and Sarah second guess God. What more should God do? Right? What more should God do? This calls for patience. Here now is the patience of the saints. The story of Abraham resonates with many of us. Many of us have been seeking jobs and we don't get the jobs. You want to get married, you wait and you wait. You are faithful, you are honest, you keep your purity, you pray to God, you do everything you think you know how, and it still does not happen. Nothing seems to be working, and they say to themselves, you know what, we need to make a plan. Maybe it'll be Hagar, right? Sarah's maidservant, that they will have a child through. And so they devise this plan. Today there are husbands who look outside the marriage when the wife does not give what they need. There are wives who look outside the marriage when the husband does not give what they need. This, beloved, is a recipe for disaster. When you become impatient with the plan of God, and I understand, I mean, this is an old man. These are people who are looking at the biological clock. This is a man and a woman who are looking at the physics, who are looking at the biology, who are interpreting everything, interpreting the times, who understand that it is now too late. Before it's too late, let's find a way. Let's make a way. But beloved, I say, stay faithful. To depart from the plan is a recipe for disaster. This created many problems, as it always does. Hagar despises Sarah. Sarah places the blame on Abram. Sarah deals harshly with Hagar. Hagar goes into the wilderness where an angel of the Lord meets her. It is a mess here, beloved, right? Chaos is brought. They thought they would create a solution, but their solution creates more problems. There's somebody today who ought to think carefully about what you're planning to do, about the man-made solution that you want to devise. You want to go outside of the principles that you know are good for you. You want to go outside of the law of God that you know is good for you. Satan has made the other way appealing. He has made you look at the fruit long enough so that you see in it something enticing and desirable. But beloved, there is only disaster on the other side. I say in Jesus' name, stop before you make that mistake. Now, another character is introduced here, Hagar, right? Hagar. This is a very important person. She is a victim, listen to me, a victim of Abraham and Sarah's abuses. We ought to talk about Hagar. We should speak more about Hagar. We should preach more about Hagar. We should teach more about Hagar, because there are Hagars in the church. Indeed, there are Abrahams and Sarais who are abusing Hagars. This is the woman who sees and experiences the other side of the household of faith. Listen to me. The place that should have provided refuge is the place where she was exploited. Come on now. The people she trusted are the ones who abuse her. Everyone else sings, "Father Abraham had many sons." And she says, "Yes, I am carrying one of them." Hagar lived in the household of faith, with the father of faith and the mother of faith, if you will. And yet she had to flee from the household of faith into the wilderness. There are some people that we judge as they run away from the household of faith. As they go into the wilderness, they make a decision. They say, we would rather go out and see what the elements and what the wilderness has for us. And I thank God. I thank God that in her vulnerability as she was out there, God seeks her out. Hallelujah. God is there when no one else is. I want to say to the Hagar listening today that God is there for you when no one else is. And God speaks to her and he gives her a promise. And he says, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Ah, just like a promise was given to Abraham. Listen to this promise. It is one that goes parallel with Abraham's promise. This is an incredible promise. It is a promise in the similitude of that one given to Abraham. God even gives the name of the child, Ishmael. She, in delight and relief, also gives God a name, El Roy. What does that mean? The God who sees. Ah, she says, I have seen him who sees me. Oh, beloved, here is the message for today. The God who sees. That is the God we are worshiping. The one who sees your pain when there's no one else around you. When those meant to protect you are the source of your pain, God sees. When you struggle with depression, God sees. When you have lost all support, all friends, all family, when you are in the wilderness of life, God sees you. May he meet you and speak to you. May you also declare, I have met the God who sees. I've met the God who sees me. He sits real high, but he looks real low. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And here is God's promise to you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God with us. Hagar, God indeed sees you. He has not forsaken you. To the Abrahams, may God rebuke you for all the abuses. Sarah, may God rebuke you for all the abuses. You ought to request and ask for forgiveness from the Hagars in your life. The Hagar in your life might be the helper in your household. Somebody you are abusing, they should see the light of God in your home. But you show it everywhere else but to the people who are most vulnerable in your space. Who is Hagar in your life? And if you are Hagar, may God visit you in a special way today, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let us close our eyes as we pray. Father, we thank you for this story. We see ourselves in Abraham, celebrated by many, but there may be one person who has seen another side of us. We pray, dear Lord, that you may have grace, that you may have mercy upon us. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, when we have departed from your plan, when we have doubted your promises. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, when we have done with our own works that which we should have trusted you to accomplish in our lives. Forgive us. Forgive us, dear Father, for all of the sins that we have committed that led others away from the faith, that led others away from the church, that led others away from the place of refuge. And I pray that, dear Lord, you may visit Hagar today. There is a Hagar who has been abused. There is a Hagar who is alone. There is a Hagar who is suffering and no one else sees. She is crying and no one else knows her tears. Nobody knows the trouble I see is the song she sings. But Father, I pray that may you visit her and may you be El Roy, the God who sees. For this is my prayer in the name of El Roy. Amen.